What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Tuesday. Hope everybody's having a great day. It's like, I don't even know how to describe today. It's a weird day. Let's be real. It's a weird day. I hope everybody enjoyed yesterday. Oh, sorry. Hey, Jax. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Claude. Thanks. I agree with you. It's a weird day. There's a lot going on here
Yep. In
our studio. Of course, it is pub day for my children's book.
Which we are going to celebrate. That's just a non-negotiable. I know you're like feeling like it's not important. I don't care. Jackie wrote a book.
It's not that I'm feeling like it's not important. I feel like so many people are messaging me being like, you should still like promote it. And it's not like I feel awkward, you know, because the only person I'd be offending
is,
by post is myself. Like, no one's going to like cancel me. Like,
right.
The people who do the canceling don't give a shit about what's going on.
Right.
So it's just that like I just don't, I'm not feeling it.
Okay, well, I'm feeling it for the both of us.
I woke up this morning feeling it more like, camper and counselors stand with Israel. The whole bunk stands with Israel.
No, it's so true, by the way. It's a Zionist bunk.
It's a heartwarming book, and we need some heartwarming things right now.
No, and like you should be very proud. It's
am proud, but I also feel like the book is out now. You can buy it wherever you get your books.
It's also like kind of out of stock on Amazon because it's so popular. So we really can't even promote it that much.
Well, it is out of stock. The first printing sold out. The second printing arrives on Thursday. So if you get it on Amazon now, like you'll get it by Friday.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. So that's what I mean. Like the first printing sold out. Like I've sold a lot of books. I can promote the book any other time. We have books to sell like next week, the week after. So it just felt a little less imminent that I go so hard today. But I am really excited. And I'm mostly excited to hear what you guys think about the book. If you pre-ordered the book, Barnes & Noble shipped it out this weekend.
Let's talk about the unprofessionalism of Barnes & Noble.
I'm kind of obsessed, sorry.
Me too.
Because also, if you ordered it on Barnes & Noble, like, you're not like other girls who just went to Amazon, you know, Prime delivery.
You're probably, like, a real patron of literature.
Because you know who ordered it on Barnes & Noble? Dana. And she's a patron of literature.
Like I said, patron of literature.
So she got it a few days ago, sneak peek. So if you ordered it on Barnes & Noble, you probably have it already. And I'm really curious to hear what people think.
Jax, it's such a ray of light. I literally read it yesterday, like, sobbing. It's so good. I'm so proud of you. I hope everybody picks up a copy. It's the thing is, it is that book. You think it's not, but it is.
It's really wonderful. I've sent it to a few influencers too, and they like sent me pictures of their kids like reading it
so
and loving
cute.
It. And it's so nice to see just like kids with the book and enjoying it because it's for kids. The illustrations are so bright and colorful. The message is heartwarming. You know,
it's a message of strength.
The counselor's not molesting the camper. It's very pure, and we need more things like that in this world.
I was not expecting you to say molest. Are you okay?
No, like it's just
I know what you
pure.
Mean. It's pure and it's joyous and it's sweet.
It's good.
It's good.
It's good.
Okay. She said what she said. So, and if you want to hear like what goes down, there's kind of like a crazy moment in the children's book. Something happens at the lake that you're not going to see coming. And I think we really gassed it up
no,
a lot.
You guys,
the craziest you guys, thing happens at the lake. There's a pirouette.
Okay, like the lake is a pivotal scene for our camper.
It's the arc of the story, some would say.
Yes.
It's when she really begins to trust the counselor.
It's like the bridge, you know?
Yeah.
It's like if there's a song, this is the bridge. But it's nothing that crazy.
No, I think it's psychotic.
Except you do get to see the counselor in a two-piece.
Let's talk about the counselor. The counselor character is extremely sexy. Honestly, the book is kind of like not pure, like you said it was, because the counselor is very hot. Like,
As counselors are.
It's so true. And that's also like when you're a kid and you're at camp and your counselor's like this older girl who like wears makeup. That really is the lens in which you see her. Like she can be a beast, but you look you look at her, you're like, oh my God, this adult, this gorgeous. Like you really look up to her.
Yeah. And she's yours. You know, when you're an 8 year old, like what 18-year-old cool girl is really
talking to
you, hanging out with you, looking after you. But that's the beauty of camp and the bunk. It's like that girl's taking care of you and she's going to show you her ways how to become like her.
It's so true.
It's so true. I just did Stassi's podcast yesterday. I think it's coming out this week and we were talking about camp because she's not
a camp person.
And I was just explaining to her like the role of a counselor in a camper's life. Also on Thursday, we have our Redheads episode about camper and counselor coming out.
I heard it's peak comedy.
It's my favorite pod. No offense to the Toast. Okay, I won't say it so generally.
But like, yeah, I don't feel like we need to paint with broad strokes, you know? Like, okay. Just say what you're going to say.
Top five, my favorite podcast episode I've ever recorded in my life. And I've recorded thousands.
With me.
With La Turd. And maybe yesterday's episode is also another top five. So
yeah.
It's just a big week for podcasting.
It is a big week for podcasting. It's a big week for you. Congratulations. Everyone pick up a copy. TheCamperAndTheCounselor.com. You can buy it anywhere. And if it says out of stock on Amazon, like you'll get it in
just
a week.
Just know like the warehouse will be replenished on Thursday. So it's not going to be a really long wait time or anything. And I'm really grateful for everyone who got the book that I sold out in my first printing. I didn't even think I would sell that many books like in the course
in
of
your lifetime.
Right. And it was first week. So that's so awesome. And please let me know what your kids think of the book. Like, that's what I'm most excited to hear.
The Winding Camp Roads give me goosebumps and chills.
And you know what? I'll give you guys a little bit more of a teaser.
Yeah, don't pick that book up.
I won't pick that book up because my drinks are behind there. I need to stay hydrated.
Maybe you should read my favorite page.
Which one?
You know my favorite page.
Oh, the nature page.
The greenery.
The greenery. Okay, so I don't know that I've shown you guys this when camper and counselor level set on the bunk porch.
It's kind of a coming of age moment.
Yeah, the counselor is just like letting camper know what's in store.
Right.
I don't want to spoil too much. This is when she's like cracking on with the girlies, as they would say on Love Island.
There's highs and lows because she's having fun one moment. She's bugging out the next.
This is Claudia's.
Oh, that's the lake scene.
Oh.
Pivotal.
Pivotal. This is Claudia's favorite page illustration-wise.
Like, to me, that really captures the essence of the book. Like, it's so pure. Look at the simcha, the joy in her eyes.
The joy in her eyes. Should I read the page?
But I don't
know.
She's
kind of, like, deep into the book.
I don't know
book.
If you should just be giving it away for free. This
is
a business.
What? If you do want to just, like, know what the story is and know what we're talking about and know what happened at the lake, you can get it on Kindle or wherever you get ebooks. It's available as an ebook. If you read it on your Kindle, it'll be in black and white, as the Kindle is black and white. But if you read it on the Kindle app on your iPhone or iPad, it's in color.
Cute. So they put the graphics in a Kindle kids book?
Mm-hmm.
How cute.
So if you're on the road with your kid and counselor's their favorite book, pull it up on your Kindle, even on your phone, on your Kindle app. I have the Kindle app on my phone, iPad. I have my Kindle all the time.
100%.
But if you really just want to know the plot and what your girly did.
And how it thickens.
Check it out. Kindle, ebook, e-reader. What are e-readers other than Kindles?
Let's talk about e-readers. I'm so glad you brought that up. The fuck is an e-reader? No, I know it's like an electric reader. I'm not dumb. But I think it like if you read on your iPad, like that's your e-reader, right?
Yeah, but there, I think, are other e-reader devices that aren't Kindle.
Nook. Barnes & Noble makes their own.
Oh, cute.
It's called Nook.
Yeah, that would be an e-reader.
Nobody has it. Like, let's be real.
If you have a Nook, you can get Camper and Counselor, too.
And if you have a Nook, like, maybe try Kindle. So, honestly, I have to say, I'm so looking forward to doing this episode. I feel like I have not been off my phone in the last 4 days. And I'm just actually, like, really looking forward to talking about moronic lunacy. Like,
yeah.
Meaningless coverage of things that don't matter.
Yeah. And I did Stassi's podcast yesterday after doing ours. I was feeling like, how am I gonna
get out of it,
switch gears? And I did, and it was just so nice to chit chat, and all that darkness is still waiting, but to have an hour just to bring some levity, it felt really good. And that's what we do here, and we're gonna try and do it, but we're also gonna be real, because you know what, we're not covering problematic celebrities.
Yeah, no. And the crossover of celebrities and like what's going on right now, it's really hard to ignore. And like, not me losing respect for everybody, like unfollowing everybody on Instagram. Like, if you feel me being curt and short today, it's because I have no respect for this person.
Yeah, but I chose stories from unproblematic people, some people doing some great things, some people doing some mindless things.
Also good.
Also good.
Kelly Ripa has to get up in the morning, so.
Has Kelly spoken out?
Oh my God. Has Kelly spoken out?
I wouldn't know.
I'm afraid to check.
But now it could have expired.
By the way, you would know, because everything Kelly does
is headline news. It would have been a People magazine story today. So
Let me check in on our friend K-Rips.
I don't want to.
Nothing in feed.
But I'm not going to slander until, you know, until we know for sure.
No. Nothing on her story.
But maybe she posted when it happened and it expired. No.
Whatever. Like, I don't want to be that person.
Probably not. Maybe.
But just interesting to note.
Maybe on her show she'll say something. Probably not.
But maybe. So we're just going to try our best to be the girls that you know and love. Because honestly, I feel like I really need it today.
Yeah, me as well.
So
anything else new with you that you want to share with the class?
Yes. What? I thought you'd never ask. I watched Beckham. I know it literally feels like a lifetime ago. It was like BW, before war. And I enjoyed it so much. Like, I think maybe it was a little bit before my time. I wasn't invested in pop culture when David and Victoria Beckham took on the scene.
You were six.
I was six. And I was American. So it really, I didn't realize like how much of a big deal it was in the UK. I was obsessed. I thought the documentary was about their family and them. It's about David. Mm-hmm. And of course that includes parts about Posh, but I'm obsessed. And I just had like so many thoughts on the whole thing. My introduction to David Beckham, and I really wish they had spoken about it, was Bend It Like Beckham, the best movie of all time.
Keira Knightley's. They didn't mention it?
Not once. I was shocked.
Because I feel like that's obviously he's storied. He scored that goal from the half line.
Right.
I watched the first five
from
minutes if you can.
Half line.
What's it called?
Midfield.
Midfield. I watched the first 5 minutes. DW during war.
Oh.
I was trying to get out.
Yeah. Some things are a little too mindless, like, you know.
Yeah, no, but that's, it's a fine line.
It's a tough line to walk.
But he's obviously a great soccer player, would have been always. But I feel like having a movie named
with your name in the title
and such a great movie.
Right.
Adds to your legacy.
100%. It was really.
And they didn't mention it.
I was shocked and disappointed that they didn't bring it up. I did want to say, like, my takeaway, though, and I don't know if this is everyone's takeaway, I didn't realize how much David Beckham had been through. Like, did you know that thing at the World Cup?
No.
So he's, like, the best player. He's literally 12 years old, and he's the best player in the entire world. And so England taps him for the World Cup team. They make it all the way to the finals. They're playing Argentina. Argentina versus Britain. There's, like, history there in history, but also in soccer. Like, it's a big matchup. Some, like, asshat player, who actually ends up being filmed in the documentary, he gave his take on it, like, shoves him to the ground, like, whatever, and David gives him a little kick, he gives him a little frost with his leg, gets thrown out of the game. England is distraught, they're furious at him. Like, talk about being canceled.
Furious at him.
At David, being like, that's so petulant and immature. He was literally 22. And, like, the other guy started it. So, you know what, and it was such a minor offense. It's really, they say, worthy of a yellow flag, not a red flag that gets you thrown out.
Did the other guy get thrown out?
No. But the other guy was in the documentary.
I smell a conspiracy.
The other guy was in the documentary, and at the very end, he was like, did you feel like they overreacted and he shouldn't have gotten a red flag? And he was like, yeah. It was like a really big deal, it's like if you know the history. Oh my God, was he canceled? He couldn't even fly into the country. Like, he was so hated, I had no idea about that. So whatever, I'm learning all this about his career. And what I learned, and I don't feel like this was the intentional takeaway from the documentary, but like, what a losery way to go out. Do you know how he ended his career?
In LA, right?
Okay. In LA, which isn't losery. It's like he made $250 million to play for like a year. But what I didn't know at the time is like while the LA Galaxy was pouring money into their team, the Major League Soccer League like wasn't pouring money into the league. He was literally playing on like in parks. Like it was like low budget energy. And it was so weird to see like this prolific player playing on like former football fields. They had like the numbers, the yards like etched in.
Yeah.
And he moved his whole family there. Victoria's so happy. She hated living in Spain. Spain media hated her. She just hated it.
Did she want to go back to the UK?
She wanted to go like anywhere else, but she ended up loving LA the second they moved there. She's like, somebody once told me when I moved there that LA is like rehab for famous people. And like they could take their, like in Madrid when they lived there, they would literally walk their kids to school and with a camera right behind them. Like so crazy, no privacy. In LA, they have like private yards for the kids to do drop off. She was like, it was just amazing. And after playing there for 5 minutes, he was like, I hate it here. Rightfully so, because it was Loserville Central. And he goes to Milan. I guess it's like the off season now in LA. He goes to Milan, leaves his team high and dry. His teammates are like speaking out against him, being like, what the fuck? Victoria's not leaving. She stays with the kids. Like they're so happy there. He ends up playing in Milan and being like, this isn't right. Like, he comes home, he makes it right with all of his teammates who were like speaking out against him. And he ends up playing there for 5 years, I think really just to keep Victoria happy and to obviously make a ton of money. The LA Galaxy doesn't even exist anymore. It's called like a new team at the LA Football Club. It was like such a flop. That's how his career ended. And then he retired after that. Oh no, I'm sorry. After that, he went to Paris. played for Paris for 30 seconds and retired in Paris.
Wow. Well, I actually have a lot of respect for him for choosing his family life.
Okay, but if you see it through the lens of the documentary, like, he never once chose his family life, like, until the end.
When that was the only thing that was left for him?
Yeah. And honestly, like, Victoria put up with a lot.
Yeah.
Justice for Victoria.
But at least he didn't make them all move, and he, like, moved to Milan, moved to Paris.
He wasn't even there for the birth of his second child. Like, he really was, like, he said it in press conferences at the time, and he said it now. He's like, I love my family, family's everything, but football's number one.
Oh, wow. Because the way you're describing it, I could say, like, he chose to play for a losery team to set his family up financially for the rest of their lives in a city that they would love.
So he left Madrid because they were starting with him. Like, there was infighting with the coaches. And he's like, fuck this. I'm taking the 250 mil. So he didn't even leave for his wife. He left because of his pride in Madrid.
Oh, wow. But it all kind of worked out.
I just didn't realize how many, like, scandals he kind of went through in the very small insular soccer world.
Yeah.
And also, I didn't realize, what a man. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. So hot. Like, you never in your life saw a man that looked like that. Like, shaved his head. So hot. Grew his hair to his shoulders. So hot. Buzz cut. Like, and his hair was like a thing. And every time he did something with his hair, it was major, major news. And I understand why. Like, it's his face. Because you could have any haircut and you're the hottest man alive.
Yeah, even now, so good looking. They did a lot of the filming was, like, so close up.
Yeah, because so they had David sit down and watch old footage.
Right.
And, like, literally zoomed in on his face to get his reactions, which was so
It was just unnecessary.
It was unnecessary. They didn't do that to Victoria.
But I feel like there are so many sports documentaries right now. There are so many documentaries. And you have to set yourself apart. Like, with your filming, you need to be creative and artistic. You want to win those awards.
It's competitive.
So they're trying something new.
It was really good. Like, I highly recommend.
I will continue watching it at some point. I think I was enjoying it, and I was learning a lot.
And he also, like, put some, like, soccer's always been, like, huge, but not really in entertainment and in pop culture. When he started dating Victoria, like, they said that they were, like, just as famous as Charles and Diana at the time. They were, like, soccer's Charles and Diana. And they put a target on his back. Like, a lot of the coaches and the managers didn't like, he was, you know, doing fashion shows. And right. He became a brand, and he was making so much money, you know, as the faces of watches and athleisure companies. And they didn't like that. It made a lot of coaches dislike him. And he was naming names.
Love that.
It was really good. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, I'm gonna finish watching.
And so hot. Like, and when they covered their wedding, they were just, like, a little crazy at the time. So they had this big wedding, and they told everyone to wear black or white. And they're like, why would they tell people to wear white? They both showed up in bright purple. And they were, like, sitting talking about it now in the documentary, being like, yeah, that was, like, weird. Victoria stood by her decision, but they were like, yeah, we don't really know why.
What is she like?
Not what I expected. And you know what? They have a lot of behind-the-scenes Spice Girls footage. And I think the POV when we were, like, obsessed with the Spice Girls is, like, she was cold, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, she was like, I was really awkward, and I didn't really know how to deal with a lot of what was going on with the Spice Girls, but then also with David, so I just, like, stayed silent. And so many of the other girls were so outgoing, so I just, like, let them do their thing. And she got, and that really translated into a lot of how the media talked about her, like, stone cold ice queen. But she's really not like that. And
yeah.
she was fiercely defensive of David, and she's like, I hate football, I hate soccer. She was literally calling people out by names, like, shame on you, shame on you, shame on you. Like, she was very involved in everything.
But also,
oh my God, and he just loved her so. Like, he would be in this training driving 7 hours to London, because he was in Manchester, driving 7 hours there and back to hang out with her for 20 minutes. Like, and it made a lot of his teammates really mad that he wasn't focused. He didn't care. Oh, he loved her so, and still does. Then there was the infidelity thing, and we talked about it last week. No, they pretty much said he cheated. And that's why she fucking hated Madrid, because Madrid caused him to cheat, because she was like, I'm not going until you have a set, my kids are in school, so I'm not gonna leave until you set everything up for us. So I think she waited, like, almost a year to come.
And in that year.
And in that year.
Out.
Yeah. And she's a queen. She didn't let, and so that's why they stayed in LA. She's like, bitch, after everything, I'm finally happy. Sit down.
Yeah, it's her turn.
Take a seat. Yeah, it was interesting. It was complex dynamics. Nicola was in it for half a second.
We need a documentary about her.
Yeah, so I thought it was going to be more about them. And I found the soccer stuff interesting, but I needed more posh.
But that's also because it was called Beckham. So you think it's about a family,
yes.
Not a person.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
Great. Well, thank you for your recap.
Oh, and David Beckham, Jewish king, proud supporter of Israel. So I feel good promoting his Netflix documentary. Everybody should watch it.
Love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so without further ado.
I think so. It's only been 20 minutes.
Let's get into the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
We're using, you know, we're playing fast and loose with the word need.
Oh, yeah. We always do.
We always do.
Yeah, that you're going to, here's the Fast Five stories that you're going to hear today.
Whether you like it or not. Today's episode of The Toast is brought to you by Lululemon because, praise the Lord, it's legging season. We don't have to shave our legs anymore. We're all wearing leggings and sweaters. And there's really only one option when it comes to purchasing leggings, and that's Lululemon. Because they've got something for everyone. If you live a really active lifestyle, like you run or you jog, check out the fast and free leggings that are powered by their new Luxe fabric. It's a weightless on-body sensation with incredible coverage, designed for those looking for a legging that gives them complete freedom while running or jogging. Now, if you are a little less active, like you work out and then you love to run errands right after or wear leggings, you know, just doing active things, check out the Wonder Train leggings. Their most innovative fabric, the Everlux fabric, is their fastest drying fabric. So if you like to work out in the morning and then do a bunch of things in the afternoon, you know, you work or you run to the grocery store, this is perfect for both. The fabric is really, really drying. So once you're done working out, no crotch sweat, no stains, no embarrassing stains. Just keep the leggings on and keep going, girl. And then the Align leggings, which are my favorite because I love the Align collection from Lululemon. I have a ton of stuff from that collection. It's the Nulu fabric, so this is perfect for, you know, the more casual, low-intensity workouts, or if you just like to wear leggings as casual wear, which I absolutely love to do. I'm always wearing leggings. So that's the Align leggings. Whatever you're looking for, Lululemon has you covered, whatever your lifestyle is. So get into all the Lululemon leggings at lululemon.com. That's lululemon.com. Lululemon.com. Sweat of weather. It's here, you guys. Praise be. Thank you, Lululemon, for ushering in this gorgeous time of year. Today's episode is also brought to you by Ring Concierge, the leading luxury jeweler committed to designs by women for everyone. Ring Concierge offers accessible, on-trend, and wearable everyday fine jewelry for how the modern woman stacks and layers her pieces. So it's fine jewelry, but it's meant to be worn every day. I think this is the best thing you can give someone as a gift because it's made really well. It lasts a really long time. You're not going to be tarnishing your skin. Also, if you're like, you know, expecting a gift coming up, like a birthday, an anniversary, maybe, you know, Hanukkah or Christmas, send a link to the person in your life from Ring Concierge because you know you're getting a good gift. They create custom handcrafted engagement rings as well. So if that time of year is around the corner, send the link. They specialize in getting you the biggest diamond within your budget. So they make fine jewelry at every price point, and it's, you know, no surprise why it's a celebrity cult favorite jewelry brand. It's so well made. It's so beautiful. I got a gift from Jackie, actually, a pair of earrings from Ring Concierge. And I have to say, it's like, it's the best thing. I think she would consider it an A+ investment. And of course, we have a code for you guys. So the code is 20TOAST, 20TOAST. You can shop fine jewelry at ringconcierge.com. Use that code for 20% off your fine jewelry purchase. I feel like it's so much better to invest in good jewelry pieces that you'll have forever as opposed to just like buying crap that you really can't wear for more than a few weeks. This is really well made. It's really beautiful. It's a really reputable brand. I love their Instagram. It's like one of my favorite pages to follow for jewelry inspo and especially for engagement rings. So if you or someone you know is looking to get engaged, check out the Ring Concierge. Highly recommend. Love their work. And again, we have a code. So you can shop the fine jewelry at ringconcierge.com and use code 20TOAST for 20% off your fine jewelry purchase. Today's episode is also brought to you by Caraway, a brand favorite here at The Toast. So whether you're making a fall feast, a quick girl dinner, or you know it is that time of year according to the weather, a chili, you got to do so in your Caraway Home's non-toxic products. They make cozy season safe and stylish. So their internet famous kitchenware is a staple for any home. It comes in a variety of modern shades to fit with whatever design aesthetic you have. You know, you have a light and bright kitchen, a dark and moody kitchen, whatever it is, Caraway's got you covered. Their non-toxic kitchenware features a chemical-free ceramic coating. Food can be prepared with peace of mind that no hard-to-pronounce chemicals will leach into your healthy ingredients. So you might be asking, what's different about Caraway? Why is this kitchenware different from all other kitchenwares? Well, here's why. First of all, it's non-toxic, so their products are made without any toxic materials, so no hard-to-pronounce chemicals are going to leach into your healthy ingredients that you spent a lot of money on. It's easy cooking, so their naturally slick surface means minimal oil or butter is required for easy cleaning. So if you hate cooking because of the dishes, this makes it so much easier. Or if you live with someone who leaves, you know, cheese on a pan and then puts it in the sink, this is a Caraway's for the girls who are cleaning up after the men in their lives. That's what I'll say. And it's really well-loved. So visit carawayhome.com/thetoast to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusive for our listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/thetoast or use code thetoast at checkout. Caraway, it's non-toxic cookware made modern, and The Toast has got you covered at carawayhome.com/thetoast or just code thetoast.
First up, Gwyneth Paltrow uses her Oscar as a doorstop.
I saw.
She said it works perfectly. No more sliding doors here. That's funny.
By the way, like, we invented sliding doors.
We did, but you still haven't watched it?
No. I think it's actually better to keep the mystery alive.
It is, because the way I had it in my head, it was a really good movie, but the way I had it in my head, it was a better story.
It'll never live up to the hype of your brain.
It's true. So Gwyneth Paltrow was caught using her Oscar trophy to prop open an outdoor gate on her property. In a new video interview with Vogue, she did 73 questions. The interviewer said, "What a beautiful Academy Award." She said, "It's my doorstop.
It's literally in the dirt. It's outside."
It's so funny. Do you think that it's really there all the time, or it's just like an Easter egg for the video so that, you know, it's
people
buzzing?
Watch it. I don't know. I could see Gwyneth like not giving a fuck about Oscars. She's like Hollywood royalty. Like, yeah, oh, this whole thing got it in 99.
And also, really, what else are you going to do with it other than display it? At least now it serves a purpose.
No, I also feel like Gwyneth is very into like the decluttering lifestyle. Like, she doesn't have shelves with shit on it, you know?
Yeah.
That's just how I feel like her design aesthetic to be. So I could see people being like, this is such an affront to everyone who's ever wanted an Oscar. Like, you don't respect the arts. And to you, I'd say get a grip. And I love this. Like, oh, this thing that so many people covet, it's in the dirt.
It's the shit on my shoe.
It's the shit on my shoe. That's Queen Gwyneth for you, putting life in perspective.
As much as people find her so unrelatable, I think a lot of people will find this relatable because a lot of people like look at the Oscars and these things is just like so
meaningless,
phony and stupid. And so for her to treat it that way... Queen.
No, I love Gwyneth Paltrow and nothing she does would make me dislike her. So when I win my Oscar, I'll be wiping my ass with it, which would be extremely painful.
Ow.
Yeah. But you know what? Shows them.
Sure.
Sure.
So yeah, she's doing 73 questions. She's done it before, correct?
I'm sure she has, but I actually love 73 questions. I feel like so much of the content, oh my God, I ended up on this TikTok. I totally forgot to say this on the toast. Margo sent it to me. This girl was like, I am watching a Vogue Beauty video. You know, they've like, what's in my bathroom or whatever. And I clicked on one of the links in the YouTube description and it took me to this Google Doc that was like publicly, and it was a Condé Nast Google Doc where they had basically kept a list of all the videos they've done and how, because I guess they use like commission links.
Affiliate.
So they post like, oh, here's Rihanna's skincare routine, and then they link all the products and they make money off of. And so they have a list of whose videos generated how much. This girl was like, I feel like this is illegal. I don't know how I got here. It was fascinating. Let me tell you, not one of those videos made more than like $1,000. Isn't that crazy for Condé Nast?
Yeah.
And the person you would think wasn't even like a big star. It was like an influencer because those are people with actual influence.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
Who was the most? Do you remember?
It was somebody so unremarkable and like, I don't remember.
Was anyone surprisingly low?
Literally all of them. I feel like it was like a YouTuber, like Eliza Koshy or something, like who had done really well.
Got it.
It was very interesting. I love when people in like with high jobs like make big mistakes.
Yeah.
And then we get to enjoy, like, I know that they get fired or like literally like it ruins their lives. And I have a lot of sympathy for that. I really do. But like the joy I feel like reading this thing.
Yeah. Or
like this information I would never get.
When the social media manager accidentally posts like her personal picture to the company Instagram.
I don't feel like that should be a fireable offense.
No.
And it does bring me great joy. It does. I'd be lying.
Funny.
It's just funny. Especially, it's so relatable.
Especially when it's just like, funny, something funny, like when the Pope's Instagram liked a bikini model on Instagram. Like, I'm sorry, that's funny.
And there's some
things, and you know it wasn't the Pope. Like the Pope.
I don't know if I know that. I don't know if I know that. No, I'm totally kidding. One thing you can like guarantee about Jackie and I is like we will never stop talking about the time the Pope's Instagram liked that OnlyFans models picture because we never got down to the bottom of it. There was really no resolution.
No accountability.
There was no accountability, and the Catholics deserve better. They really do.
But
from their leadership,
it's just such a funny thing. That's just so, you know, the Pope has been a thing, a fixture for centuries.
And OnlyFans has infiltrated that impenetrable structure.
It could only happen in 2023, you know?
So true. It was 2022, I believe, but I know what you mean.
You know, like if you had told
the if Pope you had told
years prior
that their legacy, when it comes to the toasters, would be liking that bikini model, I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah.
It's so funny. And especially as two girls who used to work in social media management, that's like your biggest fucking fear.
Oh my God, you like literally wake up in the middle of the night. And you're like,
no, you wake up in the middle of the night being like literally, what did I post? Like it gives you night terrors.
Yeah.
I don't think that ever happened to me though.
No. Or at least not in a way that was like
catastrophic.
Bad, you know?
Yeah.
But it's frightening. It's just...
It's not good,
you guys,
no matter how you look at it.
It's really not.
I don't know how we got here. Oh, Condé Nast. So I just love Gwyneth. Like, unrelatable, inaccessible, rich, out of touch, and I want nothing else but that.
And keeping it real. She doesn't change. It's not like they're like, Gwyneth, you're not reading relatable to people. Like, maybe try going to McDonald's.
Right. No, she has built a billion-dollar brand off of being completely inaccessible. It's beyond inspiring.
Yeah.
I love her.
She's like so scrupled
in her unwillingness to adapt.
Relate.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. And you know what? Like, there's proof that, like, I feel like they're always saying, especially when you work as like an influencer or a celebrity, like you have to be relatable to like sell anything. And she's just a testament to that not being true.
More than that, you need to be true to yourself.
Authenticity reads more than relatability.
Authenticity greater than relatability. Who'da thunk? Me.
Gwyneth. I love her.
That's the lesson of the day.
Yeah. Mm. And also, the lesson of the day is if Gwyneth Paltrow's doing an Instagram Q&A, tap through every story. It's the funniest shit you'll ever see in your life. That's the type of person, like, she has nothing to lose. Like, she can't get canceled. Like, she doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Love.
Are you ready for our next story?
I guess.
A little tea on Kris Jenner and Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, I saw this.
So, Caitlyn sat down for a British daytime program called This Morning and revealed the sad truth that she no longer has anything to do with the famous momager, despite having been married for 22 years and sharing two daughters together. So Caitlyn's remarks were said to have caused some family drama between the Kardashian-Jenner clan. A source close to the pair has shed light on her reasons for their rift, claiming that the exes no longer have anything in common aside from a lack of desire to fix their broken relationship. The insider exclusively added to DailyMail.com that Kris believes Caitlyn to be a completely different person to the one she married in 1991, and that despite
putting it mildly. Sorry.
It's like Kris believes her. Right. To be, no, like she is right. A completely different person.
Right.
To the one that she married, and despite once sharing a life together, they would now have trouble maintaining a conversation without it becoming awkward. I imagine it's awkward.
The thing is, I wouldn't expect these two to really ever be friendly, except for the fact that, like, they co-parent two kids, and, like, I'm sure that's actually really hard on Kendall and Kylie. However, I do feel like Caitlyn, like, talks a little too much. Kris never talks about Caitlyn, ever. She doesn't need to. Caitlyn kind of does. Mm-hmm. And it just, I feel like every time she's like, Caitlyn's in this documentary about the Kardashians, like, she does a little too much, and it drives a wedge even further between her and everyone. But I do wonder, like, how they deal with the kids.
Well, the kids are grown, so it's not like it's your parents and they're looking after you and they have to communicate about dropping off for soccer practice. So yeah. It's like Kendall and Kylie can spend time with whoever they want and move on with their lives.
It's just like it adds an element of awkwardness.
Yeah, it does.
But here's the thing. Both Caitlyn and Kris are staunch supporters of Israel. Therefore, I'm staunch supporters of both of them. Yeah, and that's where my loyalties lie today.
And it seems like they're not trying, like this person said, they're not trying to make it worth. They are both. Only thing they agree on is that they don't want to fix their relationship.
Which is fine.
Like, communication and relationships are not for everyone.
No, not every relationship is meant to last forever.
We're meant to be fixed. Like, just leave it broken. Move on.
Yeah, better than, like, honestly, sometimes trying to fix shit just makes it worse.
And also, the dynamics here are so
complicated.
Intricate.
Yeah. It's so true. Between, like, the money and the fame, like,
And the transition.
Of course,
Being married to one person who then becomes a different person.
100%. I can't pretend to know what that's like.
Right. This insider said, Kris is still trying to deal with the transition. A man she fell in love with and had kids with is no longer around. It's as if he is dead, and she already has one dead husband to deal with. And all those emotions, it's easier to separate from it than to meet it head on.
For sure. I can sympathize with that.
Yeah.
They say, like, when someone transitions, it's really considered, like, a death of that former person.
Right. Even when you use their old name, it's called a dead name.
Right. So I don't think these two need to really work it out. I'm not holding out hope for that either.
No.
Wishing them well as well.
And speaking of some Jenners who don't seem to be problematic today, Brody Jenner is making coffee with his fiance's breast milk.
Okay, I saw this.
And I wanted to get your thoughts.
Well, here's the thing. My thoughts are really complex because, you know, my ass tried Olivia's breast milk one time just because, like, I was curious, you know? It's not something I'm necessarily proud of. I just thought it's, like, important context before I drag someone. It's gross, and it's weird.
But they ran out of almond milk. What else were they to do?
Oh, I don't know. Regular milk?
No, like,
skim.
Have your coffee black?
2%.
Run to the store?
Creamer.
Go Puff?
Half and half. Like, I could go on.
Yeah.
Like, don't they live in Malibu? There's farms everywhere. Get some unpasteurized
shit. They probably have a cow out back.
No, this is weird. However, I'm aware of the, you know, medical benefits of... It's a good for you.
There's no more nutritious product on the planet.
Full of vitamins and nutrients.
Yeah.
So I love someone putting their health first. I do. But we were just having this conversation. We were talking about breast milk, like, being dairy.
So It's definitely has dairy properties, especially if you eat dairy and then nurse. But some mothers will find that their babies are lactose intolerant.
Right.
So they cut out dairy so that it's not in the breast milk. And then that milk wouldn't be dairy.
Right. So I don't feel like I don't think it would even make for particularly good coffee.
Yeah.
I think it tasted? It was definitely like Instagram shtick.
It's a bit of a bit. And I'm just finding it very interesting. I'm just obsessed with breast milk, you know? And it's,
no, we know.
And if you have, wow.
Mamas, oh, shut up.
Mama.
Victim energy.
Get, why can't I be obsessed with breast milk?
I asked Jackie to move her water and she was like, I need to stay hydrated. I'm a breastfeeding mama. Like, don't weaponize your breasts.
Like, no. I need to stay hydrated. I'm a breastfeeding mama.
Weaponizing your breasts.
Period.
Weaponizing your breasts.
It's so fascinating to me.
I know.
Breast milk. And I feel like it should be to everyone. It's not medical. It's a natural marvel.
Marvel, for sure. For babies.
And I'm just glad to see like Brody Jenner. He used to be the talk of the town.
Drinking tequila.
Out at Ledoux.
Ledoux.
And now he's at home having a cup of Joe with some breast
milk. With some
titty
milk.
I think it's beautiful.
It's nice to see how people evolve, that's for sure. Yeah, it's a beautiful story of evolution.
And I love to see like his respect for breast milk. Like that's just a funny
picture. It's a cute picture. Also, the thing about Brody Jenner is like he's really hot. And he always has been. And I feel like maybe he always will be. And you could just get away with more stuff when you're hot.
Mm-hmm.
And a man. So wishing you well.
Wishing them well. They have a nice
He really has like a nice life.
And he's gotten serious.
Yeah, settle down. We respect.
We do. Just
be careful. Also, like, she must be a super producer because in your house, you're just not giving away milk.
No, well, now, like, round two, I have more to spare.
But she
obviously is doing well in production because if she weren't, I would not spend a drop on anything.
I will never forget. Never in my life forget. Last go around when you were breastfeeding, we were doing a photo shoot.
Mm-hmm.
And you were literally pumping in the trailer. You put all your milk in the fridge in the trailer.
Uh-huh.
We go to the photo shoot. We come back and they switched our trailers. Like they literally drove the trailer away and like brought in a new one. I don't fucking know why. It seems like an incredible waste of money. Breakdown calling the driver. Literally got the driver to turn back around on the highway to bring her back her two bags of breast milk.
Yeah. That's liquid gold.
Yeah. No, like imagine leaving $100,000 in a trailer. Like you would go get it too.
Yeah. No, and that's just like wrong. They were wrong for that.
Yeah, no, like what if I left like... What if you left your son in there? Like,
yeah,
it was just like a crazy thing to do.
Yeah, that wasn't my fault. Like, that
no,
was
I wasn't saying it was your fault. I was just showing your dedication to the breast milk.
Yes, yes, for sure. Even this time, if I have like more breast milk to spare, like I would still make them bring it back.
Of course,
that's mine.
That's mine.
I worked hard for it.
Right. It was just like kind of a manipulative thing for them to do.
Yeah, I like how you're like when we were on a photo shoot. We did one photo shoot once.
I don't know. I feel like
You've done like three.
Yeah, so one of the many photo shoots that I've done. Don't be rude.
Yeah, no, we love doing photo shoots together.
We are models for actually. We hated it. Our takeaway was that models are severely underpaid, and it's the worst job in the world.
Yeah.
And honestly, like people who are like, it's like a general thing. Like people always say like modeling is easy. Models are dumb. Couldn't be me. I could never be a full-time model. And I've gotten many offers. I'm fielding them constantly.
You're so strong.
So brave. Today's episode is also brought to you by Masterclass. I don't know if you guys have been like seeing me acting different. Like I'm better than everyone and smarter than everyone. And it's because I am. Because I took a masterclass with Bob Iger. Because I too am trying to become a multi. What is he, a billionaire? Maybe he's a billionaire, but you know, it's important to set goals for yourself. So Masterclass, you can learn from the best, become your best with Masterclass. From leadership to negotiating to creativity to cooking, whether you're watching Masterclass on TV, listening in audio mode, in their app, or on their website, the quality really speaks for itself. Because think about how much it would cost to take one-on-one classes from the world's best. Tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars. But with Masterclass, an annual membership is just $10 a month. So it's basically taking the world's leaders, the world's smartest, the world's most successful, and making them your personal mentors, which most of us would never, you know, really have the option to because we're all a bunch of nobodies. But with Masterclass, you're a somebody. And their memberships start at $120 a year for unlimited access to one-on-one classes with all 180 plus Masterclass instructors. So you've got former FBI Chris Voss's. He's giving a negotiation class. They also have Esther Perel's Relation Intelligence class. It's really amazing. It's unparalleled access to some of the world's best and brightest and most successful successful. And if you're looking to like level up in your business or level up your self-image, there's so many different reasons why someone might want to take a masterclass. It's also an amazing thing to give to someone. I know Jackie got it for someone in her life who is in the arts and they loved it. So boost your confidence and find practical takeaways that you can apply to your life. And right now, our listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/toast. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/toast. That's masterclass.com/toast.
Are you ready for our next story about someone who's actually strong and brave?
Yes.
Netflix's Fauda star, Lior Raz, joins his brave brothers-in-arms on Israel's front line to help rescue trapped families near bombarded town of Sderot after Hamas's bloody invasion. So I've been seeing this on Instagram because Lior Raz is on the show Fauda, which I don't watch yet.
I know, I need to watch it. It's an Israeli show that's like so popular here in America.
Yeah, and it's about, I think, situations similar to what's happening in Israel right now. It's like Mossad
energy.
Vibes, whatever. And he is arming up to help rescue innocent civilians in the isolated town of Sderot, which is right near the border and is constantly hit heavily during these conflicts and especially this week.
Not to make everything about us, but he did speak at our high school.
He did.
It was like such an affair. Like it was for the students and like literally alumni were breaking down the door to get in because people love him so much.
Had I graduated already?
Yeah, like 2 years ago.
Oh, okay.
It was such a big deal for the community. I love this man. I respect this man. I would lay my life out on the line for this man. And this is true heroism and bravery. And we stan. I got to start watching Fauda.
Yeah.
I also heard it's just like a great show.
Heard that for years.
You know,
life imitating art.
You know what I was thinking about last night? Bar Raffaele. I feel like for so long she was like the only Israeli representation in like American entertainment and media.
And now she has a dartboard with Gal Gadot's face on it.
Yeah, no, like Gal Gadot came, snatched her image up. But then Bar Raffaele went through her own sort of like distressing times. I think she evaded taxes, understandable, and was facing some jail time in Israel.
Yeah.
Queen.
What's she up to now?
I don't know. Let's check her Instagram.
Yeah. No, I agree. I feel like for so long she was one of the faces.
No, and then, like, there was that song about her.
Really?
Like, Bar Raffaele Giselle. No, that's Brazilian.
Bar Raffaele.
What song is that?
Oh, she's popping off.
Of course she is, because she has a duty to outdo Gal Gadot.
Follow. Our next story is about Gal Gadot, though.
Of course. Queen.
Because
Wonder Woman.
Because she's on set with Jason Momoa, filming a movie tied up on a rooftop in Venice. They're filming a movie called In the Hand of Dante.
Okay, I want to say something.
Please.
And I would never speak ill of my Israeli queen, Gal Gadot, even though what she did with that Imagine video, she should be
I think she's thoroughly ashamed.
No, and honestly, like, has she not been punished enough?
But I think she has been.
But it's important to remember, like, and I don't want to send hate her way, but like, it was her idea.
But I feel like it's misogynistic to put it all, and maybe anti-Semitic, to put it all on her. There were a number of celebrities in that video.
Oh, no, for sure. But she like started the group chat and like told, she gave out the parts. She was kind of like the choreographer. I know, I hate to, in times like this, to send any hate her way. Because she's a queen and I love her. But I had something else to say, not even about Imagine. I have like a hot take.
I think I know what it is.
Like, besides Wonder Woman, like Gal Gadot's movies are not good.
Well, you obviously didn't see Keeping Up with the Joneses.
No, I didn't. But I saw Death on the Nile and like, she was just not giving good acting. Like,
yeah, that's what
I'm sorry, you know what? I feel like this is really not the time for me to hate on the Israeli actress. I take it back. Like, yeah. I really take it back.
No, she's a queen. I like her movies.
She's the most beautiful woman in the world. Mm-hmm. I would take a bullet for her. Mm-hmm. And it's as simple and as complicated as that.
Well, now she's in a movie with Jason Momoa, which got me thinking about Game of Thrones, because I feel like since like all the Sophie Turner stuff and everyone's like evaluating her career and TMZ's like she hasn't worked since Game of Thrones, like who would you say is the most successful Game of Thrones actor?
Jason Momoa. Right. And spoiler alert, he was killed off in season one. Like,
maybe
it's so
that's
crazy.
Why, because he had to go and find other work while the other actors were like resting on their laurels of this 8-season show they thought might go on forever.
The thing is, I would say he's the most successful, but I would say him and Sophie Turner are like equally famous.
Yeah, but Emilia Clarke's also really famous.
Yeah, but she's not. I think she's on a lower level than Sophie and Joe.
Yeah, just because her personal life doesn't seem to be interesting.
Right. No, and like she did that one movie with the guy in the wheelchair, and like, what else after that? Me Before You. Which like
she did a holiday rom com for Netflix. Even I didn't watch it.
Yeah, that's yikes.
And I love her, and I love Holiday, and I love watching stuff on Netflix.
It's true.
So I don't know where it went wrong.
That's yikes, though.
Yeah.
If you're not even watching
honestly,
it.
Honestly, it's just the category's too saturated and inundated, and it became overwhelming for me, and I had to back away from the whole category.
Toxic environment. Dare I say Netflix like ruined those holiday movies? They commercialized them too much. And like Hallmark had this amazing thing going on and Netflix just straight out copied it with like bigger budgets and bigger celebrities. And honestly, the beauty of Hallmark is the lack of money and the lack of celebrities. Like,
yeah.
It was wrong what they did.
No, and they have all these huge movies with like the Brooke Shields one we watched that recently.
Horrible. Horrible.
Even oh they got God. Lindsay Lohan to come out okay. of retirement
that
back
one was
into
Ant. That one was good.
I didn't watch it.
I liked it.
I'm sure it was good.
I liked it, yeah.
Oh, they have that one with Vanessa Hudgens.
That was like the one thing that they did. They're like, let's test out. Let's steal Hallmark's whole brand and see if it works for us. And they did it with Princess Diana story, whatever it's called, with Vanessa Ann. Don't forget the Ann. And it popped off.
And they also did that other royal one they did.
Christmas Prince.
A Christmas Prince. And those were two nobodies. And it was hugely successful. I think they need to go back to the nobodies.
I was happy for Vanessa Ann, like for real. But I was sad for Hallmark. I can't lie. Like this was their homegrown idea.
Yeah.
Just completely stolen, like their intellectual property snatched.
You hate to see it.
You hate to see it. But I feel like they came out on the other side.
Yeah, they still do what they do. Like for Netflix, it was a trend and they were just like hopping on the bandwagon.
So it wasn't authentic.
It was not authentic. But Hallmark is still doing what they do best.
Yeah.
What were we saying? Game of Thrones.
What were you saying?
Emilia Clarke.
Oh yeah. No, she like kind of like fell off the face of the earth.
Right. So who's the most successful? Jason Momoa.
Because who else?
Because even like Jon Snow literally hasn't been in anything.
No, there was a moment there because he married the
Rose Leslie.
Wildling.
Yeah.
And there was excitement there. And there was
she was in Downton Abbey.
Yeah, but you're right.
Small part.
What happened there? Oh, Hottie McGee. Hottie McGee.
Jamie Lannister.
He's good too. Hottie McGee. I think his name is Richard in real life. Madden. Yeah, the bodyguard.
Oh, yeah.
Hottie McGee. What happened to you?
He does stuff. He works.
He should be in Bridgerton.
Yeah.
As one of the brothers.
It's a little late for that.
No, for sure.
He works.
I'm sure they all work.
Jon Snow doesn't work. But Jamie Lannister works. He was just in that show on Netflix.
And he's in the best movie of all time.
The Other Woman. And when you've done that, you can just...
Honestly, when you've done that... You can only go down from there, for real. Like,
no, but you can sleep easy knowing your legacy is intact.
It's protected.
Even though he made it through all through 8 seasons of Game of Thrones, but nothing he does will ever be better than the Other Woman.
It's kind of like a curse to be on Game of Thrones.
I feel like you could say that about a lot of really big shows.
Like what?
I have to think. Like, what are the Succession people going to do next? Nothing.
Amazing question. I saw Shiv in some turnt Apple TV show. Like, it looked so bad. Sending prayers and thoughts to her and her whole family.
And it's also, like, lightning doesn't strike twice for most people.
For Jason Momoa, it did.
Yeah, but maybe there's a person who got struck by lightning twice. It's Jason Momoa.
Let me tell you why it happened for Jason Momoa. And I think it's, like, here's the lesson of the day. Don't be afraid to be different. Like, Jason Momoa's hair... Unlike other hair, like his whole energy, like he could have conformed to Hollywood buzz cut, you know, he just like was so himself in such a unique way. I've never seen someone so good looking and so different looking than other men. You know, mm-hmm. I don't think there's anybody who looks like him. And his looks, I'm sorry, it's not really his talent. It's his looks that took him as far as he did. I'm sorry. And he just like stood with his look, you know, which was unorthodox.
Yeah.
That's the lesson. Be yourself.
That's what we're saying. That's what we said about Gwyneth. Stay true to yourself.
Those colloquial, like, cringy things are so true sometimes.
Yeah, like the things
be yourself. Everybody else is taken.
Everybody else sucks.
That's better.
Yeah.
That's more better.
The things that, like, the teachers have.
What's popular is not always right, and what's right is not always popular.
If that ain't the damn truth.
It's so true. I need more, like, quote cards, inspirational quotes in my life. Maybe for my next apartment, that'll be, like, my design aesthetic. Teachers, we have so many teacher toasters. Send me your best,
teachers, where do you get those things?
Scholastic fairs, for sure.
I don't know. They always have them like right in time.
I got another one.
For back to school.
I got another. Wait, it was just with me.
Of course, the golden rule.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Do unto others as you would have others do unto you.
I don't love that one.
Easier said than done.
No, it's so true. And also like, who is this other?
Yeah.
What's their history with me?
Right.
Context.
Do unto others as they deserve to be treated by you.
That's bad. I also don't love an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. If I'm blind, bitch, you better be too.
I completely agree. And it's just one eye, really. So you could still see out of the other.
So true. But actually, if you came for my eye, I'm coming for both of yours. Like,
yeah.
Fuck around.
And
find out.
That should be on the teacher inspiration.
Mess around and find out. You know what? I absolutely love the toast.
You know what else the teachers need? The camera and the counselor.
And that's called a callback, you guys.
That's called full circle. Teachers, mamas, grandmas, grandpas, dads, caretakers, aunties, godmothers, godfathers. This is for you.
If you're not watching on YouTube today, you dismiss like an A-plus joke. The godfathers need it. You come to me on the day, on my pub day. So yeah. This is my fault. My nose is running.
So that's a wrap. That's all she wrote. That's all I wrote for my first book, The Camper and the Counselor, my children's book. It's here. I worked so hard on this book. This story has been living rent-free in my mind for 5 years, and I'm so glad that you guys will be getting copies in hands today.
And if supporting Jackie like isn't reason enough, let me give you another reason why maybe you should buy this book. It's no secret that there's kind of this divisive energy here at Toast headquarters. The fact that your first book was written about our other sister, like not me,
right?
The other sister who doesn't work with you every day.
No.
And I'd be lying if I said it wasn't hurtful, but I understand how the story came to fruition in a very organic way. And if there's any hope of a sequel, of course, inspired by me, Olivia can fuck all the way off.
She has not been campaigning like you.
This one has to be successful, because if this one flops, and this book already is a success, like I said, we're out of printing, but if it's like such an enormous success and there's so much demand for a sequel.
That I can't not.
Trudy Lou Goes to the Zoo?
Except she will be Trudy Lou, because I'm not going to write a children's book about Trudy. I'm just not going to do it.
Why? I feel like it's a really good way of introducing young people to the joys of bowel movements.
Perhaps. But maybe Trudy Lou makes a Trudy Lou.
Maybe.
But she's got to be Trudy.
Well,
you know what?
We'll talk.
We'll talk. My people will call your people. And let's see how this one does.
Ben will give you a call.
Zach looks forward to answering.
So that's our show. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Toast the Millennium Morning Show, where we deliver the fast 5 stories that you need to do every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places where we listen to podcasts. Find out the Toast, leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and wickedly talented we are. Hope you guys have an amazing day. We will see you tomorrow for Hump Day.
Love ya. Bye.